Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast. Your host, Terrence Biggs. With me always, of course, he is the social media manager for everything Full Press coverage. Also, the managing editor of Full Press Chiefs, Brady Holacek. What's going on, Brady?
Doing really well. We got a kind of a slower day than maybe what I expected. Obviously, some big name players still out there. Some guys taking their time to sign. So gonna be interesting to see if we get anything big tonight on Wednesday, but we got some big moves that happened in between our last couple of recordings, so can't wait to discuss those.
What did you think of Derrick Henry with the Ravens? Two-part question for you. Do you think the Ravens will veer away from kind of the running back by committee? And what do you think Henry's role in the offense will actually end up being?
I think it'll mostly be Henry leading the way. Yeah, I guess the only thing is going to be seeing how much Keaton Mitchell is kind of used. But I think even before he got injured last year, he was really only having about probably 5 to 10 carries a game. So I don't really expect it to necessarily be a committee. But yeah, I think Derrick Henry to me, this seemed like the most probably predictable landing spot for him. I know the Cowboys were kind of out there, but this just seems like a kind of Ravens move where they're waiting on somebody to become available that they believe in, and are able to scoop them up for basically a cheap deal at this point in the running back market. I think it was kind of rumored they tried to trade for him at last year's deadline, didn't get him, but still get their guy now. I think the thing with Derrick Henry is obviously a little bit older, but this is a team that has no issue being physical and running straight at you. So you throw that in with the kind of runner and dual threat player that Lamar Jackson is at quarterback. I think it's just a perfect spot for Derrick Henry at this point in his career. What do you think on this addition?
No excuses anymore on offense. They ran away from the offense that got them to that game against the Chiefs by not running the ball against a team that excels versus the pass but struggles against the run. Now they really should be winning that division and should possibly stand as the Chiefs' only deterrent in getting to another Super Bowl. Speaking of the NFC North and teams in the division, Patrick Queen signs with the division rival Steelers. Now, another two-part question. Do you think that his improving play was more of a Roquan Smith proximity? And do you think that he will struggle now being the man on the interior of the Steelers?
I think the big thing after the Roquan Smith addition, yeah, I think the downhill play was something that I think was the major benefit from Roquan Smith playing with him. So run defense and kind of getting off of blocks, I still maybe have a little bit of pause, but I think with the Steelers, this is maybe a classic move that they're kind of willing to take. Going after a young player, Patrick Queen, I think somebody that can play in space where he thrives a little bit more than maybe being just a pure downhill guy. I think that's something Pittsburgh really needed for their defense. They tried out Cole Holcomb, and I think even Miles Jack was playing for him late last year. So it's just kind of crazy to see where they were at the linebacker spot last year with injuries and performance. So I don't think you, if you're a Steelers fan, should necessarily be expecting perfect play from him, but I think the abilities that he can use in that system, I think is perfect for what Pittsburgh kind of needed right now.
As they are currently constituted, do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers can possibly give the Ravens a run for their money?
I do not. I think I'll always trust Mike Tomlin. I'll definitely always have faith in him and being able to get something out of guys that are maybe a little bit more limited if they were in different situations. So for me, I'm always going to believe in Mike Tomlin and trust in him. I just think this team, I think they obviously with the offensive coordinator change can definitely potentially find some improvements quickly if they're committed to running the ball with Arthur Smith and not necessarily asking their guys to throw it around the yard that often. But I think this team just has a clear ceiling that at best, I think they're just only going to be able to go maybe first round and first round exit only right now in the playoffs. I just think they're stuck in kind of this weird mold of not enough young playmakers or young pieces in certain premium spots, and some of their best players are just so much older at this point.
I want the Steelers to be better because of historical reasons, but they're in one of the tougher divisions in, if not the toughest division in the NFL. And I just don't see them being anywhere close to the Ravens as far as not just talent, but need. The Ravens need to beat the Chiefs. They need to beat them to cement Lamar Jackson's legacy. They need to get over the hump, or else he's going to be on the same parallel as Josh Allen, and no one wants that. This one was interesting. You have the Houston Texans signing the pass rusher Danielle Hunter to a short-term contract. Do you think that this is going to lead to a longer extension from the Texans? And two, why do you think that the market was so weird for a guy who's put up double-digit sacks quite often?
Yeah, that was interesting. I think the Colts were kind of a rumored team from what I saw as well. So for me, the market, it might have just been purely something Hunter was looking into, really cashing on guaranteed money in a short span, just given some of the failed negotiations, so to speak, that he's had, I think, at times with the Vikings. So yeah, I think this is a great move. I love what the Texans are doing overall. If I really wanted to nitpick a little bit, Joe Mixon trade to me is a little bit of a head scratcher, but not everyone's going to be able to have a star running back in this league. So I love what Houston's doing. I think, like you mentioned, with the production factor, tremendous player, I think, to get inside of a D'Amico Ryans defense that is able to create so many free runners at the quarterback. You stick him with Will Anderson Jr. And right now, I think this is obviously Houston team accomplished a lot last season, but to me, they're hitting a lot of I'd say a lot of doubles right now is kind of how I'd characterize it. They're getting guys in scoring position if you're looking at baseball terms. I think they're just set up so well, not necessarily making moves that are all wild and brash, but they're making a lot of smart investments with proven players.
The Texans aren't making dramatically huge deals, but they're satisfying their needs and holes in their team. I think that if healthy and if they stay healthy, they might be a top in AFC South for a very long time. This one here kind of interests me. You have CJ Gardner-Johnson going back to the Eagles. Now, this was a guy who had this to say about Philly. My least favorite thing is the people. They're bleeping obnoxious. I bleeping can't stand the bleepers. Now, this was July 19th of 2023. This is when he signed with the Lions. If you're the Eagles and you knew this, and do you weigh your secondary needs against the fact that this dude has made enemies wherever he's been?
Yeah, it's something that I think I could see him kind of taking it back a little bit. I think the thing with the Philly fans is I think they'll be quick to kind of forgive if he's able to kind of play at a high level and help turn that secondary around. But yeah, as far as Gardner Johnson, it's interesting, kind of been more of a year by year case study, obviously moving on from New Orleans and that move to Philly. With Detroit, obviously looked at it as a guy that could help turn that defense around a little bit, but dealt with some injuries last year. So yeah, for me, it's I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode or not, but the Eagles are definitely a wild team to kind of gauge right now. I think they've made a lot of solid moves, but it seems like kind of a weird mix after losing some guys like obviously Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox to retirement. So kind of this new era that I just don't really know how to kind of envision this full piece coming together in the puzzle.
I think Sarah, second half of the Super Bowl versus the Chiefs, and I look at this is Nick Sirianni in a nutshell. When things are going well, he's flipping people off, he's cursing people out, he's bold, he's brash. things start to go a little sideways, he's just completely silent and kind of withdrawing into himself. He's a front runner, and he's in the entirely wrong city, which is Philadelphia, to be a front runner in. These are not the people to try. And it'll be interesting to see if the Eagles struggled this year, how long of a leash and how hot that seat is. When we come back from break, I want to discuss a trio of trades, also delve into the running back situation, and maybe touch on Sam Darnold is on the move yet again. But that's after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Braden Holjack. Braden, Brian Burns is now a New York Giant for a second and fifth round pick. What are the Panthers doing, and how does Burns's just presence help Kayvon Thibodeau?
Yeah, first with the Panthers, I mean, yeah, I have no idea what they're doing. I think they're throwing a lot of you know what at the wall right now, and just hoping it sticks. I like a couple of the players they got. Robert Hunt is a big one that I really like from the guard spot, but the money, it's Tepper's money, obviously. So I always kind of want to pause myself when I really complain about contract structures too much. But the amount of money they have thrown around, for probably the low impact that it's really made. I just don't really know how long it's going to be before Carolina gets out of this kind of rut that they're in. It just seems like they're destined to still be probably a year or two away from really being closer to competing or at least passable in the league for maybe a few more years. So it's just a tough spot for Carolina right now. But yeah, I think you have to love it, love this with your if you're the Giants. It's kind of, I would say, similar to the Bears move of getting Montez Sweat for me last year, where obviously, they're not necessarily a true contender right now, but I think you had a need that was pretty clear on your defense. You were able to fill it with a premier guy. So, obviously, really good contract for Brian Burns. I think that's awesome to see him get a kind of deal like that after seeing Carolina kind of fumble away his situation there. So, I think it feels a great need. But yeah, with Kayvon Thibodeau, you got two guys that can really rush the passer with some quickness and. Not just pure pass rushers. They can play the run, and it's a defense that I think is definitely going to have to show some quick improvement with these guys leading the way.
Speaking of trade for Deontay Johnson, and it's a six round pick. And I just, and also trade Dante Jackson to the Steelers. Deontay Johnson is one of those backs that you saw when he didn't show enough hustle last year. He's one of those players, that wide receiver, that am I the only person that doesn't see it? Like, yes, he's fast, he's quick, but he drops a lot of passes and he just does not play hard every single down. What am I missing?
I don't think you're missing a whole lot. I think the trends of Deontay Johnson have been a little more disappointing lately. He had actually a pretty good start in Pittsburgh, kind of following that consistency that they've been able to find from day two receivers producing quickly for them. I think there was some buzz about just him attitude-wise that it seemed like him and the coaching staff didn't really see eye to eye at times last year. There's been some of that thrown out there from different people with kind of that were around the Steelers and in the know a little bit. I think the tough thing for Deontay Johnson is you're going to a place now that Bryce Young, obviously with the offensive line situation, has had to hold on to the ball a little bit. So Johnson's, when he's been on, he's been able to separate kind of in the intermediate game. So for him, it's going to be interesting to see how his game's able to fit if this passing attack still has to have Bryce Young fight a lot of pressure and him hold on to the ball for a little bit too long. If he's able to get it out quickly, I think Johnson could still produce a little bit. But yeah, it's the recent trends, I guess, are not very encouraging for Deontay Johnson.
Just hope that he can kind of fix the drops and kind of be a better teammate. Now, Carlton Davis is now a Detroit Lion after being traded to the Lions from Tampa. Detroit, they seemingly like want to prove that last year wasn't an aberration or an anomaly. With a deal like this and with kind of tinkering here and there, are the Lions still a team to beat in the NFC North?
I think so. I think the big thing for them, I think on the offensive side, is Ben Johnson's there another year as offensive coordinator, not getting a head coaching job still. So I think that definitely helps. But yeah, Carlton Davis, I think what I really like about this from Detroit's perspective, they were in the L'Jarius Sneed kind of sweepstakes, it appeared. So I think Sneed would have been a perfect stylistic player for them. But I think the thing I really like for Detroit is they didn't necessarily handcuff themselves with a huge long-term investment. I think the good thing about Davis is you know what he's going to bring to the table. It may not be star level play every single week, but he's a steady player on the outside and last year of his deal, so you don't really have to commit to him long term if you don't want to try to fix a need in the short term, and I think this is a solid bet on it for the Lions.
Is he going to rest on his laurels and kind of say, hey, look at what we did last year? He drives them to want to win. I still don't have an issue with the fourth down call. So that kind of makes me, if I'm a Lion fan, it makes me happy that they're still going on and trying to smooth out the rough edges. Now, speaking of rough edges, we got to talk about the running back situation. You hit on Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones to the Vikings. Now, side note before I ask you a question, living in Wisconsin, you encounter weird Packer fans. Like, they are legitimately upset that Aaron Jones is a Viking. This is the same player who took not one, but two pay cuts to stay here. When you see a back like Jones on the market and you're Minnesota, you're trying to rebuild on the fly. What does Jones bring to the offense, and do you think they will also bring in a more of a north-south power back to kind of be that two-headed back tandem?
I could definitely see them bringing in another power back. The biggest thing I think, obviously, with Aaron Jones is going to be the health questions. But yeah, obviously, even with that, it's tough to ask a guy to take a pay cut for a third time in Green Bay. So, obviously, a rich history of guys going from Packers to Vikings in that rivalry's history. I think the good thing for Aaron Jones is he still has, I think, enough juice left to be a guy to win in the open field and run away from some guys in foot races. His vision, I think, is still one of the better ones that you can rely on in the league of kind of older running backs at this point. And yeah, he's kind of been one of my favorite players around the league. I don't think anyone has anything bad to say about him. Was, I think, one of the most beloved guys on that Packers offense over the last few years. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of production he can get in that area. The Vikings obviously didn't have much there last year, but Kevin O'Connell seems like he's able to get a lot out of so many different pieces in his offense.
It's known to play on a quicker surface, and he knows the division well. I think he's going to be a great help to what the Vikings are trying to build. This one is interesting, should be interesting to both of us because you have Gus Edwards going to the Chargers. For the longest time, Justin Herbert has needed that power back, and now he finally has it in Gus the Bus. It took how many years for it to happen? Question to you is this. Kind of the inverse of the Jones question. Do you think that the Chargers will bring a quicker back into the fold to serve that Eckler role on a much smaller scale?
I could definitely see that. It's obviously kind of been a joke in the draft community at this point of when they might draft Blake Corum with Jim Harbaugh going there. But yeah, I think the thing that you have to love about Gus Edwards is he's just kind of been on a steady incline so far when he's been given more chances. So running back obviously can be a position that's very volatile for the production part of things. But I just think Gus Edwards is someone that's continued to get better. And the chances he's received. We talked about the Ravens already. I was surprised, obviously, he didn't get more chances against the Chiefs in the AFC title game, but I think this is a offense he's going to do really well in that Jim Harbaugh is going to want to impose toughness, isn't afraid to run it, 25, 30 times a game, and can kind of keep the defenses on their heels a little bit when you have a quarterback with Justin Herbert throwing the rock. So it's I think a nice fit for the Chargers. If I was a Chargers fan, I'd probably be pretty happy they didn't overspend at the position because there was so many kind of names that people saw as fits there. But I think this is about as I think a worthy of a gamble as you can get while still having a low cost option.
Speaking of Chargers, we have an ex-Charger in Austin Eckler with the Commanders. To me, it's odd to me to see his market because as talented he is as a pass catcher and as a change of pace back, he envisioned himself as that full-time 20, 25 touch type of back. He's going to a colder climate. He's going to a tougher division as far as physicality of defenses. What should his role be, and how different will that be from what will his role be?
Yeah, it's difficult for me because I think a lot of people that saw his production early on with the Chargers still, I think, sort of believes he can still be that guy in Washington. I just struggle to really fully buy into that. I think Washington is going to be an interesting spot just because you'll have very likely a rookie quarterback starting for you next year. You got some pieces in the wide receiver room that are productive and are stars, so. I think Eckler's got a decent opportunity around him, but it's just I don't really know how much stock to put into him being much more than maybe just a huge asset in the passing game at this point. I don't know what this new regime in Washington what they're you what they're kind of thinking as far as how much they'll use him per game, but I guess Eckler for me it's just always a struggle of week to week what you're really expecting.
Finish off with the Sam Darnold question, especially being in Minnesota. You have a guy who I want to say he was the number two pick in the draft, and he's on his fourth team, and I don't think he's played 5 years yet or 6 years yet. What do you think the Vikings' plan is for Darnold, and do you think he has a legitimate shot of competing for a starting spot?
I think they'll definitely be given a chance to compete. For me, the Vikings, they feel like the obvious trade up candidate in the first round of the draft. I know Raiders are right behind them, Broncos right behind them, but feels like the Vikings have been kind of pushing to find a younger quarterback for a little bit. They even were kind of rumored, I think, last year if they made the wild trade up to maybe go after a guy like Anthony Richardson. So feels like they've been wanting a younger guy with Kevin O'Connell, JJ McCarthy. Michael Penix seem like the two most obvious guys to me as far as if they're going to be able to trade up. I just don't envision them getting a chance to get Drake May or Jaden Daniels. I think they'll be gone before they get the chance to get a quarterback. But from what I've kind of read, it feels like the Vikings have been doing just as much work, if not more, on Penix compared to other teams around the league. So I would not be surprised to see them like Penix, but the McCarthy kind of style of play is something I could also see them really enjoying. So I think regardless of what Darnold does or how much he plays this year, I think he'll still be given a chance to compete. They could always rest a rookie quarterback if they draft one, but to me, it's more about I think the long-term future for the Vikings, whoever they get, and Darnold's just kind of that placeholder that can kind of play the playbook out and do the things that are asked of him in Minnesota.
I see. Eric, and you said the Vikings have done their due diligence on Michael Penix Jr. That's one. And how much they are willing to trade up and what they have to give is interesting. I think the fact that they're going for a younger quarterback, they see the landscape of the NFC North with the Bears will draft a quarterback, the Packers have a young quarterback. The Lions don't right now, but I'm guessing that they probably will draft a quarterback in the third, probably second or third round and kind of see him as the eventual heir apparent to Jared Goff. What's coming up with FPC Chiefs and how can people interact with you on social media?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Braden Olechek 9, Braden Holecek9, Braden Holecek, and the number 9. Follow at FPC underscore Chiefs and at Full Press NFL on Twitter as well. FPC Chiefs, I actually kind of still in wait and see mode, mostly with some moves right now. The L'Jarius Sneed talk and rumors has kind of picked up a little bit, so we'll see if something happens quickly there. But even if not, I kind of might look at the recent rumors on that going into tomorrow. And then as far as general NFL ideas, we just saw as we were recording this, Calvin Ridley goes to the Titans on a major deal. So I might kind of look at the wide receivers in general for fullpresscoverage.com tomorrow. But obviously a little bit of a stunner for Calvin Ridley. Some thought Patriots, some thought Jaguars might re-sign him. He wanted to stay there, but the Titans pull off a massive heist in the division, so to speak. So receivers and kind of Snead is what I'm focusing on right now.
Follow all our work at Full Press NFL on X/Twitter. You can read all our work at fullpresscoverage.com. You can find this and the whole family of Full Press Radio podcast on anywhere you can find quality podcasts. This has been another episode of the Full Press NFL podcast.